Seeking the Lord's gracious help, let us turn to the first epistle of John in chapter 4 and verse 16. The first epistle of John, chapter 4, and the verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The thoughts upon my heart are in the latter part of the verse that reads, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. These words came to me at the commencement of the week. They have remained, and as I fear to take them, the subject is so deep. Yet believe I must venture. What precious words are here. This writer of the epistle is the one who in his gospel wrote that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. He puts on record for us the words of the Lord Jesus when he says, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another. And we also have further in the Gospels the one who came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord asked him, what were the main points of the law? And he answered that the two main points of the law, he says, on which hang all the law and the prophets are these. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. If we profess to be the Lord's people, I am certain of this. The one thing that we plead for, seek, desire, need most, need for eternity, is the love of God. If any of us have come before a church and given a testimony of what the Lord has done for our never-dying soul, the one point that is the most important point that we can ever make is this, that we trust, that we believe the Lord has revealed his love to us. If we're not one of the sheep, if we're out of the secret, we can read of those, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. The Lord says of the wicked, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. The Lord says to his people, who are called the righteous through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says to them, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Divine love is a deep, deep subject. I believe the most important thought here is this. Have we felt it? We need a feeling heart. I know that we can read these words and perhaps they can move us. But when the love of Christ is in the soul, I feel sure of this, it will humble you in the dust. You'll weep and mourn over your sin. Or you'll come before the Lord and plead for mercy. And when the Lord reveals his great love, wherewith he loved us. And it is his love that redeems. It is his love that saves. It is his love that has mercy. It is his love that is applied with divine power by the Holy Spirit to reveal to us a precious Christ. When we can say that God is love, we would say it carefully. But I believe we would repeat it before the Lord and confirm that it is so. If the Lord has not loved us, then we have no hope of eternal life. We would be lost forever. And those who do have that hope in them, those who do know the saving grace of God, is not this the love of God revealed, the love of Christ? Why did he come to this earth? But to save his people from their sins, to reveal redeeming love. Or may we know this. Dear soul, have you felt it? Has it ever entered into your heart? Has the Holy Spirit put it into your soul? Has he melted you under a sense of it? Think of that dying love, one suffering upon the cross, one dying there. Why? What is the answer? Dear friend, it must be this, that he loved his people. That is why he is there upon that cross, because of his great love. He says so himself. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He says it's the greatest love. Do we have a hope in his mercy? This is love. We plead for it. We would seek it. Oh, that the Lord could reveal it to us. Confirm that he has loved us. That will be your constant desire. I can picture a dear servant of the Lord, dear Reginald Morris, many years ago now, standing in the pulpit at Bexley. And he said this, I'll never forget it. He was speaking from the Song of Solomon, from the words, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And he said, if you've had one kiss, he said, you'll want another. I cannot forget the solemnity and the love with which he said it. Dear soul, that will be your lot too. If you've had one kiss, you'll want another. One will not be sufficient. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, says the dear man. And that is your soul's desire. Oh, that I knew more of this. Oh, that it was revealed to me and in me and upon me and for me. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. This also is a reminder of our lives here below. Is this often in our heart? Love to the Lord, there should be that seeking of his way, of his paths, seeking for forgiveness for sin. Yes, when we come seeking mercy, we seek the love of God. For if we receive mercy, that is the love of God revealed to us. As I've tried to commence with this thought, if we did not receive mercy, we would not know love. But we must do so. The full mercy of God is the love of God, granted, given, poured out upon his people into their soul. Oh, I stand upon it. I firmly believe this to be true. These are the words of the scriptures, not my heart's words. For what I say will fall, but what is given to us will stand forever. When the day of the Lord Jesus Christ comes, there will be that separating power, the one on the left, the one on the right. Those that are the goats, as we read, those are given to us in the Gospels, why they are separated out. They go into the lake of fire and brimstone and torment forever. They do not know the love of God. It is not in them. It is not upon them. They've never fully received it, not savingly. But the love of Christ to a poor sinner, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How came they? What drew them there? What brought them to this place? Why, divine love. Nothing else could. Dear friends, let us go back, some of us, to our unregenerate days, when our heart was hard, when it was at enmity with God. when it was not filled with the desires that we trust the Lord has now put in us. And what was it like then? It was a hard heart. It did not know the love of God. And what a solemn state we were in. Perhaps we did not even realize it and did not know it ourselves. Not until that love came. Then we knew. Then it was revealed to us what we are. How loveless, how unlovely. And does it not bring us into this thought? As one wrote in their hymns, why me? Why me, O blessed God, who should forever lie in hell were not salvation free? You see, this is the love of God to a poor sinner. And he that dwelleth in love. We go through this dark world very often with many burdens, many cares. But is not the love of God revealed? In the days of affliction, some would say that it was their lot. But when the Lord reveals his love, then the affliction is blessed to us, sanctified. There's the power of God in it. He has brought us here. There's a divine purpose in these things and a divine power. And what is the reason for it? Is it not to reveal his love to us? To ever bring us to a knowledge of it? To bring us to the throne of his grace? To plead for more forgiveness? To make us look up unto him? He that dwelleth in love, in the day of trial, the day of darkness, the day of casting down, the day when the evil one rises up and he accuses the brethren, when he points the finger as he does and he says, are you, your sins too many? You'll never be amongst the Lord's people. You enter into the words of the hymn writer in a solemn hymn, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? But then, but God. Again, remembering the Lord's dear servant, now we trust with his Lord. Clement Wood, speaking from those two words, but God. Oh, but God. And what a mercy that is that but God is in the scriptures. But God interposed his love. He brought his dear son to this earth. He interposed his precious blood. He shed his blood in love and mercy for his dear one, for his redeemed, so that they dwell in love. The love of Christ to a soul. Remember the words closing in Romans 8, Paul writing, what can separate us from the love of Christ? What? And he goes through the list. He says, no, it's an impossibility. It cannot be. And we read those precious words, whom having loved his own, he loved them to the end. He loved them and he now ever loves them. This love of God we know is eternal. It is infinite. There is no bottom. There is no breadth, length, depth, nor height. It is fullness. It is grace. It is mercy. Oh, may the Lord reveal his love. How often we feel to be loveless. We feel it in our own heart. Those hearts that can complain, that can doubt, that can turn against God. Yes, solemnly. That can even at times backslide. Yet, think of that one who is revealed to us as returning to his Father. The prodigal son. And see how the father received him. Is the stick raised? Is the judgment seat set? No, the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That is the God of love, bringing a sinner home. God is love. Oh, may the Lord reveal it to us. What we need is a feeling heart, dear friends. Have you ever felt it? Has you ever had a heart that was melted under a sense of it? Has the Lord revealed to you the pardon, the forgiveness of your sin? Do you know these precious things? They are needed, are they not, by the Lord's dear ones? See, the Lord, when he speaks, his voice, what does it reveal? So much in the voice of God, the words of God. So much in the scriptures. But if the one thing that is revealed to us is this, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, go to Romans 5. Through the Spirit, he says, that is given unto us. There are many references to this by Paul. And think of him on that road to Damascus. What cut him down? The power of God. But was the justice of God upon him? Well, in a way, perhaps we might see it. It certainly reproved him. But was it not the love of God revealed to him? Oh, dear soul, you and I, where do we stand? He that dwelleth in love, what a deep place this is. Oh, that there was more love in us. Is your life full of love in your home? Is it there every day, moment by moment? Is it never ceasing, never ending? Can you say of your daily life, naturally speaking, I'm speaking now of this body, this time, that it is nothing else but love? Oh, wouldn't we be so wonderfully blessed if that were so? But dear friends, this is what we receive from God himself. This love never ceases. This love is always there. It surrounds his people completely. There is never one point at which the Lord ceases to love his own. That cannot be. If that were true, we would have no hope of heaven. To come to that foolish thought of purgatory, what a foolish thought it is. God is love. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples that he would prepare a place for them in heaven above. And that place would be theirs. He that dwelleth in love. Where is our dwelling place? Is it in the love of God? Or don't we pray for this? Oh, that the love of Christ might dwell in my heart and soul. What about our motives? What about our actions? What about our thoughts? Do they reveal the love of Christ? I know I must confess, oh, that mine did more so. And that will be ever our cry. Oh, that we knew more. Oh, that we felt it deeper. Oh, that it would humble us before our God and before his heavenly throne. Oh, that we could be humble at the throne of his grace and to know the love of Christ. Oh, that we might know it. Is not this your heart's desire if you have any knowledge of it at all? Do we not want it deepened? Isn't this our cry? That I may know him. Isn't that the cry of dear brother Paul in his writing? Dear friends, we are in this place where we desire more of this love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. It's an entering into Christ, isn't it? To enter into the Lord Jesus Christ, our refuge, yes, our glory, our peace, our eternity, our heaven, and all, can we say in the fullest sense, our love, the love of God sent down from heaven. Does this not move a sinner? Or does not it reveal to us what we are? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, and God cannot look upon sin. His eyes are pure and holy. He cannot look upon evil. Then we wonder, how can he look upon me? but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He doesn't call us sinners anymore. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Think of that precious truth. The Song of Solomon. Yes, those precious things of love. Thou art all fair. No spot. The love of God, in bringing his dear Son to die upon the cross, shed his precious blood to cleanse a soul from sin. Now no spot. And again the writing to the Ephesians, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to present his church to himself without blemish or spot or any such thing, pure and holy. Why? Why? What's the reason? Because he loved her. Because of his great love to her. And I thought as I read this chapter, oh, the blessings that are here. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That's how the dear man was given it by the Spirit, but that he loved us. And then there's the following on of the words. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. But what was his love? What brought his love? We must conclude in verse 10, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There's the fullness of his love. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the love of God to a sinner. Yes, to be the sacrifice for sin. Our prayer is this. May the Lord reveal it. Oh, may the Lord seal it upon our heart. May he bring us a knowledge of this love. But you know, the Lord alone can apply it to us and reveal himself to us in all his love and mercy. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. The word to dwell here literally means to continue or to abide. So you're living in this continually. It means, as I've tried to bring out, never to be out of it. This is the dwelling place of the Lord's dear people in the love of God. God dwelleth in him. God is love. God in him. Oh, what is revealed in us? Oh, is it seen? In the past, I can remember those dear, gracious, godly men, women too, and we could see the grace of God in their soul. Their lives revealed the work of grace in them. I remember on one occasion speaking to one dear saint, passed away now, we would believe, with his Lord in glory. And I seem to want to say in my young foolish age, what a gracious man he was. He looked at me and I could see almost he was wondering, what was I saying? He could not see it, but others could. Oh dear friends, what will be seen in us? What comes from within our heart? Let us go back to the commandment. It's in Deuteronomy 6. It's there, repeated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that we are to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, all our mind. It's not just given to the Jews. It's not just given to Israel and it was good for them and not for us. We can't say that these words are good scripture. These words are the commandment of the living God. Where do I stand? Where do you stand? How solemn these words are. How they stand against us. Thou shalt. And if you read on, you will see how those words were to be spoken of. And read through those first few verses in Deuteronomy 6. And you'll see that much comes from them. They're to be talked of. Amongst the children, they're to be spoken of continually day by day. It was to be in their heart and soul and life. This is how they were to live. Thou shalt. It's the commandment of God. And remember that the Lord said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. Oh, may we love our neighbour. And that, the Lord confirms, is whoever they are. Not just the Lord's people. He says, love your enemies. What solemn words these are, aren't they? Love them. How strange to the ear. Bless them that curse. What words these are, but they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, not mine. How difficult to carry out. How the old nature rises up. I know mine does. I confess it before the Lord. And we can say, ah. But then we have to seek for that love of God. Oh, may it come. May it subdue our nature. May it put in us the love of Christ. And then we have to take that step back, as it were. That's how it seems to me at times. Rather than rushing into the matter, to lay it before the Lord and to plead for forgiveness, to plead for mercy, to feel the love of God, to feel the love of Christ, and to dwell in God. We would think that if we were dwelling in God, that naturally speaking, this is the place of glory, place of eternal peace, eternal bliss, eternal life. But why does John describe it as such? Dwelling in God. God dwelleth in him and he in God. He says in verse 15, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We know these things are deep, but isn't this our prayer? Our pleading, our searching, our seeking, our wrestling, oh, that the Lord would live in us and put his love in our soul, so that all would truly be the spirit of love, the love of Christ revealed. As I ever feel, all it can ever bring into your heart is humility. All it can ever bring to you is a sweet peace. A humble weeping and mourning over your sins, and also a spirit of sweet joy in believing, why me? Oh, may the Lord grant us to know these precious things. They are so deep. They are so necessary. It is the work of his grace. It can only be granted to us, put in us by the Holy Spirit. It isn't of human nature, I'm sure of that. I'm sure it is not our old nature, is it? It's the new man of grace. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So where are we living? Are we living in a bitter spirit? Are we living speaking against others? Are we living stirring up strife? God forbid. Oh, that the love of Christ might be revealed in us. Oh, that we may be kept from it. We read James' epistle, go to chapter 3, and those solemn words of his, that little member of the tongue, he says, what a fire it can make. How solemn it could be. How it can speak in love. He says, therewith bless we God, and therewith curse we men. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. That is not the love of Christ. That is discord, disharmony. That is not the work of the Holy Spirit. Or may we be spared and kept from it. The love of God. And then to think of the pathway. We thought of the afflictions, we thought of the trials. But then there is the spirit of hope in the soul. What is our hope? Our hope, surely, if we're the Lord's people, is this, that we have the hope of everlasting life. Is not this our hope? Is not this what we stand upon? We stand upon his gracious promise. The hymn writer said it. His name, yes, his honour is at stake to save me from the burning lake. To save me from it. And what saves you? But the love of God. So we can see this in drawing to its close. These thoughts that it will open the gate of heaven. It will bring you into the presence of God in eternity. And one wrote, didn't they, of singing this, of that in this we will sing in eternity. We will spend an eternity in singing God is love. Singing God is love. That's what eternity will be, eternal praise. Go into the book of the Revelation, see how it opens. The glorious way that John begins, doesn't he? Let's hear his words. Revelation 1 verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Here's the beginning of praise. So it goes on, it's eternal. What will we sing? God is love. God is love. Oh, it must be. Oh, it must be. This is what God will have from his people. He will have all the praise. He says, my glory I will not give to another. No, it's his and his alone. He is to be praised and to be praised forever. And is not this place where God dwells eternal love? Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee, he says to Jeremiah. These words are precious. They are the voice of God. And so he draws him into his eternal presence. The saints, as they pass away, as they enter into the place of heaven, they now enter into eternal love. Where we read of it, we read of the marriage supper. What is the theme? What is the thought? It is like the bride and the bridegroom. Here they come. Here's the wedding day. What does it seal? It seals this, that they love one another. This is the communion and their union forever. This is their eternal joy. Oh, may we know it. This is our cry and our concern. These are deep things. May the Lord reveal them to us. May he put his love in us. Oh, may he love us. If we are not loved by God, as I thought earlier, what a solemn place to be. How solemn to hear that voice that will say, depart from me, ye cursed, I never knew you. Would you not tremble? Do we not fear it? But then to hear the voice of God speaking, come. Yes, come in. Come in, why standest thou without? Why, here is the place I have prepared for you. This is the place that is your eternal abode. You will now dwell in this place forever. Why, these people dwell in love. Oh, dear friends, do we know it? Don't we plead for it as we leave the house of God tonight? Isn't this the plea in our soul? Oh, that the love of God may be in me, upon me, may be my blessing. Yes, may be my salvation, may be my glory, may it be my peace. Oh, may the Lord grant his blessing upon these things. Amen.